popping? What's popping, everybody? It's Drew and Mark from Berkeley today. No plugs. Jay's here too. Joey's here.
Where's Joe? I haven't even seen him.
I think he got an important phone call. He darted around the corner for some privacy.
Whoa.
The dogs were barking right behind him, too.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because he was downstairs, and I think he got an important phone call.
I know, because he texted me on my ass wondering where I was, then you did. I felt bad. I was very late today.
What happened?
Oh, time got away from me.
That sounds familiar.
I learned from the best.
You did.
No, you told me Jay was going to be here, what, at a quarter to, and then next thing I know, I looked at the clock. I'm about to get in the shower, and it's a quarter to!
Doe! But Jay was a little early, actually.
Oh, damn it, Jay.
But Jay's always got stuff to do.
So that's my excuse. I have stuff to do.
Interesting developments already today.
Yeah.
Somebody, it turns out, did indeed borrow from Michelle Obama's speech. So does that mean apologies for the Hillary Clinton campaign for being accused of raising a big ruckus over nothing?
What the Hillary campaign did?
Oh, well, you know, there were people in the Trump world who were saying,
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, the head of his campaign did, who said, every time Hillary sees a strong woman.
So are you going to apologize?
Do you have to drag Hillary?
I know, how stupid. That was dumb.
That's their game plan. I thought that was really interesting hearing some of the ABC talking heads talking about that after the speeches last night, that it's not about promoting Trump anymore. It's about tearing Hillary down, which is a pretty good game plan.
I didn't watch too much last night. I saw Don Jr., who was accused of plagiarizing too, ironically.
Hilarious. it turns out the writer of his speech wrote the articles that he was quote-unquote plagiarizing.
Yeah, brother.
Did you like his speech?
I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was, you know, it was more policy-based than anything I've ever heard come out of that camp.
I think, honestly, that what may save Trump from this convention is people may say, look at his family.
Yeah.
He really got some sharp kids. He's got a bunch of really sharp kids, and that's a pretty big reflection on him. You got to give him some credit for that.
Did you see when Don Jr. Casted his vote as a delegate?
No, I did not.
So he,
I did see a replay of it this morning, yes.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool, you know, love you, Dad, or whatever.
Right.
But the three real Trump kids hugged and kept Tiffany out of the hug. Someone was pointing that out. Like, look at Tiffany. So we were onto something yesterday, saying that she's not a real Trump.
I've always thought she looks very weird when they're all together. She looks very separate.
Well, she's a lot younger than, I don't know, how old's Eric? He's the youngest, right?
Yeah, I think Eric's in his mid-30s.
Yeah, and she's 22. If you didn't saw her speech yesterday, she said a couple times, having just graduated college.
How was her speech?
Really good.
Was it really?
It was really
good for her.
Really good. It was the first speech that talked about Donald Trump as a person.
No kidding.
Yeah, and how
it's about time.
She likes to bring him around her friends.
Uh-huh.
Because they can see like what he's really like, and you know, because they have preconceived notions of him. And she told some stories. Of course, the cynic in me is going, you probably never saw him growing up.
Give him his due!
Because she grew up in California with Marla.
The idea of Donald Trump hanging around with her friends is so funny. I can't picture that.
Yeah, but her speech was really good. Watching her talk, though, there's something about her that is just, I think she's a very attractive woman, seems very smart and pelt together. But all I see is if you stare at her mouth,
she has
Dad's mouth. She has Trump's mouth. It's the weirdest thing.
Really? I thought she had like one of those duck lips.
No, because you know his mouth doesn't have much width to it.
It's very flat. When he closes his mouth, it's weird how flat it is.
You know how it's like this?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Her mouth is just like
that. Yeah, you're right.
I'm sitting there watching it, and that's all you could feel, like I'm laser focused on her mouth.
Yeah, I think she was actually a lot uglier a couple years ago.
She's blossoming.
I think she's blossoming. Maybe she'll look like Marla someday, because Marla's cute.
Marla's very beautiful.
Really looks good.
I think Ivanka's hot.
Ivanka? Yeah, Ivanka's very hot, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ivanka got all the good genes.
And she's smart. Did you see her interview with who's the girl from ABC that used to be on Inside Edition or on Extra? Laura Spencer?
Yeah, Laura Spencer.
Interview with her.
I did see some of that this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she's solid. Rock solid. Always has been. I've always been impressed with Ivanka.
Yeah. Unless she took George's job.
I think it's funny that George's job. Where's George? Why isn't George speaking at this thing?
George is working in the basement of Trump Tower, folding towels or something. He got so demoted. George, get down there.
I think it's really funny that Trump is completely ignoring Queen, who are begging him to stop using their music.
He's got the legal right, though.
How's that?
The way the licensing works, it's licensed to the arena.
Oh, is that right?
So that's how the Cavs can use it when they win the championship, because it's the arena pays the fees.
So it's bought and paid for. So yeah. Queen has no business saying
anything. They can ask to please stop using it, which will probably make him play it even more. He'll probably play every Queen song that's licensed to the Q. But isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, it makes me wonder about the whole business of licensing, because you don't want your music being attached to some political campaign necessarily. That's kind of a bullshit way for that song to be used.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, it's like a radio station pays to use songs, right?
Yeah, they do.
So it's similar in that the arena does, because they're going to play a bunch of songs. So because the arena owns the, or has the rights to play the song, that's why they can play it. Now, when Mike Huckabee goes out with Kim Davis and uses Eye of the Tiger out in front of her place of work, remember that? When she was fighting.
Who used Eye of the
Kim
Tiger?
Kim Davis. She was fighting.
Oh, yeah.
And so Mike Huckabee came out with that.
Stupid.
But, you know, nobody's licensed to use it, so that's why they, you know, I think they sued him. He owed him like $50,000.
I don't know. We Are the Champions is really a great song to use for a political candidate anyway.
So
it seems like a sports song.
But Donald did come out and say, we are going to win so big.
Yes, he did. And I don't know how he thinks they're going to win so big.
But by just that line, we're going to win so big.
It's just the way he talks.
Sound like, I know, but is it like speak softly and carry a big stick, or... That's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We're going to win so big.
What do you think of all the Hillary bashing? Because I thought it got really repetitive.
But that's their plan.
You know what? All she's going to do is do the same thing back, and they're going to collectively be 200% disliked.
Yes. Nobody
knows who's going to trust or like either one of them by the end of this thing.
Well,
the country is begging both candidates to, can you say something positive that will bring people together, or something, you know, talk about yourself instead of constantly putting the other person down. And
Hillary Clinton's message is old and tired.
Just like her.
Every time I hear Crooked Hillary, it just wearies me.
Crooked Hillary.
Yeah, but it
I'm tired already.
Crooked Hillary.
Oh, no. I'll be out in a minute.
You're fading.
Crooked Hillary.
Oh, no. See ya.
I wonder if the DNC will be more about her.
I don't know. Because I think they know that their biggest weapon is that he's a disaster to so many people. What's a better playing card? Beating up on him or promoting her? I think this last little round with her and the email was a disaster. A complete disaster. If the Republicans had a really good, strong candidate, she'd be finished.
Oh,
I mean,
easily.
Finished.
Easily. And vice versa. Right?
What?
If the Democrats had a really strong candidate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say. I would think so. Although he's such a strange phenomenon, I still can't quite put my finger on where this is going to all end up. I mean, of course, a lot of it will depend in the next few months, but I don't even know if we're getting the right numbers in these polls.
Why not?
I think a lot of people are embarrassed to say they're for him.
You think so? Really?
Yeah, I do.
On a poll? Huh.
I do. I can't find many people who will come out and say they're for Trump. But you know there must be.
Of course there are.
But how many people do you know who are out there saying, oh, I love Trump?
Just two. Three. I'm starting to count them in my head. Four.
I can think of
four or five.
I can think of a couple.
Four. Yeah. Six, now that I'm counting them. There's a handful of them.
But people that love Hillary Clinton,
they're very reluctant.
Are more than proud to tell you, and they tend to be friends with people that love Hillary Clinton, which is a really strange thing. Do you notice this more and more, that people tend to convene with people who agree with them politically?
Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
I think it's gross. It's absolutely disgusting that people would really like lose friends over politics.
Yeah, well, really? Just look at Facebook. It cracks me up seeing, you know, these political statements on Facebook almost as much as it cracks me up when I see keeping off Facebook until the election's over. Or I'm unfriending you. I don't want to hear about any political stuff. Well, isn't that kind of what the stupid thing's for? Just ignore it if you don't like it.
Since you brought up Facebook, I want to talk about Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones, yeah, with Twitter.
I really felt bad for her after reading what's going on. I mean, she's getting just blasted because the movie, of course, which she's in, Ghostbusters, which a lot of people just can't stand. And they're just throwing in a bunch of racist stuff just on top of it.
And misogynistic,
which is
quotes.
Yeah, I didn't really. I got the impression that the racism was the part that was, you know, eating her up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's gone off of Twitter and she's retweeted a lot of the really nasty stuff. Where is Twitter in all this? Does Twitter do anything about this?
She reached out to the top guy at Twitter. I don't know if it's the founder or who it is. And he's like, sorry about that. We need to do a better job. But they've never done a better job.
They've never done shit.
No.
Because I can tell you just on our level.
They've blocked the guy, the main guy that's like in charge of this, that really led the charge against her. They booted him off of Twitter. But it's what's going to stop that guy from making a new email address under a new name and just doing it again?
Well, is there any thought to maybe sending a pile of his tweets maybe to his employer or something and saying, hey, is this the kind of person you really want working for you?
She could have done that. Yeah, yeah. But you got to find out who they are.
I'm kind of stunned that
people doesn't that violate his privacy to be an asshole? His right?
If he's doing that and it's on his Twitter account,
yeah,
is that really private?
I guess I don't know.
I'm not really crazy about going after people and going after people's jobs, but when people get that far out there, yeah. I just feel like, really, you really think that you have the freedom to just be that blatantly racist and just bust people's balls for being black or for being a woman or for whatever, or for being gay?
Don't you love social media?
Ugh. And you think that's okay? Well, then I think a lot of other things are okay, too. Like maybe sending a copy of your stuff to the people that employ you or maybe your family to see what they think of it.
Remember Darren Revelle from ESPN did that? To a guy that went to school at Michigan.
What did the guy do? What did the guy tweet?
Let me find the full story, but it was very, I thought it was pretty innocent, and he took it as anti-Semitic and like told on him to the university.
Oh, Christ.
But that seems to be what Revelle does.
Hey, by the way, remember the guy that was such a ragger on, I mean, just completely blasting me in the comments after the 1.1 stories? Thomas Fiore?
Yeah, fake. Yeah.
Well, and he's just University of Michigan. That's his label. Pat knows some people that know some people.
Oh, really?
Kind of was looking into this guy, and he's not sure he even went to the University of Michigan or got a degree from University of Michigan.
Well, actually, no, I'm glad about that.
Yeah, you should be glad. But now, Jay was looking him up, and Jay thinks he's a librarian. Yep. Jay thinks he works at a library in Northeast somewhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he's got a lot of time on his hands.
Any idea about his degree, though? That really didn't say anything about his degree, did it?
No, but we were speculating, though, it might have been U of M Dearborn, because that's where it showed that he lived.
Right, which is not a Wolverine degree
right. For
real, is it?
No, but his work history.
Semi-Michigan degree?
But if you look up his profile, it shows that he's listed as working at this library here.
Okay.
Out of state, so we could try to call the library someday.
Any Michigan grads that are bodacious about it, put University of Michigan under everything they do, work at the library.
What's wrong with that?
And by the way, I want to go to that library and find out how actively he is...
on the computer?
No, I just want to find out, does he really have a command of the Dewey Decimal System the way he should?
You want to go mix around the cards?
Well, he's criticizing my
Move
work.
The books around?
I want to see how great his work is. Mr. University of Michigan. Oh, there's the big block M.
I know. How dare he desecrate such a sacred symbol?
He went to St. Anne in New Delhi, India?
Fake. It's all fake. He's probably not even a real person.
I'm kind of wondering myself.
There's no way he's a real person.
And, you know, we have this, just on the subject, this again, you know, going back to Leslie Jones, I just can't believe that people are that comfortable blasting someone with such racist vitriol over a fucking movie.
And jerks,
not worried,
man,
in the least about anything, like about anyone knowing that they're doing it.
There's no empathy anymore. They don't care. They just expect him to take it. The worst thing they did, though, did you see the
fake? Oh, Twitter bars Milo Yiannopoulos in wake of Leslie Jones report.
Oh, they named him?
Yeah, they did.
That's probably not even a real
this
name.
Prick is. Let's see. Who is he, Jay?
Apparently, he's got a history of being a troll on Twitter, and they barred him, you know, as a result, trying to make a stand.
What is wrong with these people, man? Really, what is wrong? Something is really wrong with somebody who does nothing but go on social media and just blast the shit out of people.
I don't know. They lack a serious amount of empathy.
I think they're sick in the head, though. I mean, how nuts are you?
Of course they are, Drew.
What bothers me is how many of them there are.
It's a lot of the time it's faceless. It's nameless. They don't care. And even if they are fake, even if you know who they are, they don't care. Which,
so,
whatever.
What were these people doing to get their jollies before social media came along? I mean, I'm frightened.
They're commenting below stories.
But they needed the internet for that. What did they do before the internet?
They just walked around yelling at people,
I guess. So.
But did you see the fake tweets that were attributed to her?
To Leslie?
Yeah.
What do you mean fake tweets?
They made these fake tweets up that.
Of hers?
Yeah.
And attributed them to her?
Yeah, it looked like she tweeted them out, and she, you know, screen captured them and said, I didn't send these.
What kind of stuff?
Oh, real racist, homophobic.
Oh, she's being
yeah, homophobic
really?
Stuff. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like, in other words, she's doing it, too, which that just sucks. Hey, I think we buried the lead. We started talking about the Trumps and the RNC, but we didn't talk about the speechwriter that stepped down.
We started to. What's the story there? Because I thought she wrote the whole speech. That's why I'm kind of startled.
Yeah, she had help. Her name's Meredith MacIver, and she had a statement she put out. She offered a resignation, to which Trump said, no. I've never heard of someone not accepting a resignation. That's so rare.
So she's acknowledged that she knew about this speech.
She said she included the passages from Michelle Obama's speech after listening to Melania Trump read passages from the 2008 speech. So she's kind of still throwing Melania Trump under the bus.
She sure as hell is. What's Melania Trump? I thought she wrote the speech.
Over the phone. This is the quote from MacIver.
This makes them sound like the biggest pile of bullshitters for the last 24 to 36 hours. What were they talking about?
This is the problem with the campaign. There's not much staff. It's really just the family and one guy running everything.
Yeah, but Melania Trump was quoted. She was asked, why didn't she say, oh, well, yeah, I was actually reading from her speech.
Because they thought it would just go away. The news cycle would just continue. That's what they said. They felt that it would just go away. Nobody was going to be fired.
Well, they look really, really stupid in this. I mean, they look worse now, in my opinion, than they did a day ago.
Well, yeah, I don't know why they thought it would go away. I guess maybe because Junior and everybody else was speaking yesterday, so they thought that would control the news cycle.
So just blast Hillary Clinton and hope it goes away.
Yeah. Here's her quote.
See, that's what I thought they wouldn't do. I thought there was a realness to Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't. Well, like, although he's not in the position to do interviews right now, I guess. He's
not really.
Lay low until his big speech on Thursday. Over the phone, she read me some passages from Mrs. Obama's speech as examples. I wrote them down and later included some of the phrasing in the draft that ultimately became the final speech. I did not check Mrs. Obama's speeches. This was my mistake, and I feel terrible for the chaos I have caused Melania and the Trumps, as well as Mrs. Obama. No harm was meant. That's the statement. So I was Googling Meredith MacIver to find out, like, who is this person?
Yeah, who is this person?
And the first thing that pops up is Amazon.
Uh-huh.
She's an author on Amazon.
Oh, how are her reviews?
She co-authored Trump, Never Give Up, How I Turn My Biggest Challenges into Success.
Oh, boy.
Trump, How to Get Rich. Trump, Think Like a Billionaire, Everything You Need to Know About Success, Real Estate, and Life. Trump 101, The Ways to Success. Why We Want You to Be Rich. Two Men, One Message. And that's another Trump book. So she's just a co-author, ghostwriter.
Nothing but Trump books.
Of Trump books.
The comments to USA Today, which I'm always interested in reading these. The speech on Monday night was good, but I think it was much better when Michelle Obama first gave it in 2008. Brian Geiger.
So there was a tweet to that extent when the head of the campaign said that that they should be fired. Whoever wrote the speech should be fired.
Mm-hmm.
And someone tweeted out, well, it's been a good run, Mrs. Obama, which I thought was a pretty funny joke.
I don't care if she said 47 years ago or I have a dream. I understood the love of her family and this country. Richard Kiesewetter, Akron, Ohio.
Richard.
What I love most about this is realizing the people in that auditorium were unknowingly cheering and clapping for things Michelle Obama said. David Thomas, Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, they were clapping for Michelle Obama for the whole speech. Oh, how stupid.
There are more important issues in the world than whether Melania Trump gave proper credit to her sources or not. Ranks up there with being a politically correct, with being politically correct. Nice but diverse from what is really important. Her message was way more important and appreciated. Tom Forsyth, Chicago, Illinois.
Please clap.
There's virtually zero possibility that similarities in these paragraphs are coincidence. None. She plagiarized the speech and Paul Manafort is not owning up to it. Douglas White, San Francisco, California.
Please clap.
Why didn't they just come out with this right away?
I don't
know.
That's
how you put something to bed.
Really,
you address
dumb.
It and move on.
Now it's got new life.
I know.
It's got life for another 12 hours or so.
And poor Eric Trump and who's Mike Pence have to speak tonight with this hanging over him?
Oh, is Mike Pence tonight?
Yeah. That'll be a real energizing speech.
I know. Is he a good speaker?
I've never seen him speak outside of the announcement. Last Friday, I've never seen him speak.
I looked at
he'll be fine.
That picture Jay included on the website where he's staring at Trump. It's so weird the way he's just looking at Trump in awe. I mean, he just can't stop staring at him. It's like he's in love with him.
From the 60 Minutes piece?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
How does that
work? You're amazing. You're amazing. They keep showing that clip over and over and over. I can just see him mouthing it now, like, you're amazing.
I think you're amazing.
Did you see Chris Christie's speech at all last night?
Yeah, I did see some of that.
regardless of what you think about the guy, he's a damn good speaker. And hearing his interview afterwards where he's like, I think conventions are supposed to be fun. That was his defense of his speech.
Fun.
Well, but it was a different speech, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was different.
I don't know.
It was banging Hillary Clinton pretty hard.
Yeah, well, that was he's a attack dog.
Oh, he's an attack dog.
I hate that
he's
phrase.
A big fat attack dog.
Badass.
I mean, this really slow moving attack dog. That's just the wrong thing for Chris Christie to be called.
An attack dog.
You know, maybe like
an
maybe,
attack whale.
How about the campaign sergeant in arms or something or attack dog. Just think of him in dog form. I just picture something bigger than Mags.
He's the campaign's Jabba the Hutt.
How was Dana White? I didn't see Dana White.
His game's all right.
Get off your fat ass and lose some of that goddamn weight.
You know, Dana White gave a speech that showed a little bit of personality about Trump as well.
Oh, okay.
Talking about, you know, his businesses and when the fights are going. Trump would call him, good luck with the fights tonight. Just call him as a friend. It's like we had no business connections. Dana White's a good speaker. It was okay.
Did you actually get anything out of those speeches that made you think, maybe Trump's a better guy than I think he is?
Because
I've always thought that he was probably an okay guy.
This has been my quandary with him. I don't think he's a bad guy.
I don't either. I don't think he's a racist.
I don't think he's a racist. But I don't like some of the things he says because it appeals to people that might be.
I don't think that's an intentional thing, though. I think I agree with you in some level, but I don't think Donald Trump is trying. Is like, how do I get the KKK people vote? How do I get that vote? You know, what if we responded slowly to this David Duke thing?
But he doesn't
call in some of the supremacists.
But he doesn't shut it down like maybe one would.
I don't know what I mean, I don't know what to make of
the
that.
First big speech is the Mexicans are coming over, they're raping us, they're taking our job. I mean, that's pretty.
Well, I think that was his appeal for something. I mean, let's face it, immigration is just a ridiculous problem that's been going on for so fucking long, and who knows who the hell is coming over here and what the fuck they're doing.
I think apparently they're all Mexicans in his mind. That's the rub.
Well, where's the biggest leaky border?
Yeah, but most illegals that are here are people that overstay their visas.
Well, but people are coming across that border.
Yeah, but there's been a negative. There's been more people going back across. The flow has slowed down. I'm just saying they go, these are they go actual back, figures.
They go back across through the desert.
They stop coming over. The tide is stemmed by 40% in the last 8 years. I'm just saying.
You gotta knock it down.
The idea of deporting 11 million, I think, is insane. I don't think he's gonna do it either.
I don't either. But it's what's happened. I mean, the fact that immigration has become, this is the part that I just can't get over. The fact that immigration or stopping illegal immigration has become sort of a law. We don't even enforce it anymore. That these laws are on the books that we really, I mean, some laws are different than others, but the idea of people just coming willy nilly into the country whenever the fuck they feel like it. That's
gentlemen, crazy. We all know this is illegal.
It's crazy. And yeah, you can get a driver's license. I mean, it's like one. It's like a. It's almost like the slippery slope going in the other direction. Yeah, they can get a driver's license. Sure, yeah, they pay tax. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, they work. They do stuff we want them to do. It's like one reason after another why we don't bother. We don't need to enforce immigration. This works out fine. And they do settle here, and they have kids, and in a lot of cases, they're a vibrant part of many communities. I agree with that. But there has to be some solution to this, and I think the idea of people just waltzing into the country has just got to stop. It's just bullshit.
Okay.
Just like any country.
Waltzing into the country.
Yeah, they're just waltzing in over the Mexican border.
Okay.
Foxtrotting, whatever they're doing.
All right.
Go ahead.
No, because people hate it when I say it. I just don't think it's as big of a problem as it's made out to be.
Well, I think
this country needs some cheap labor, especially when you see that when those people are gone, a lot of those jobs don't get filled. Look at Alabama when they made the law to get rid of illegal immigrants.
You think if people did not sneak over the border, that lawns would be 6 feet high and the country would be besieged by weeds and
no.
And failed landscaping?
No, but you're going to have to pay a lot. Okay, is there a need for really cheap labor?
Well, there's always a need for cheap labor, sure.
Well, that's what amazes me about, you know, he's very, you know, the fact that he's anti-trade, although he says he's not anti-trade, he just wants to make good deals, I understand that. And NAFTA, and this state got hit hard by NAFTA because of the auto companies, but NAFTA's been a very positive thing economically for the country. So is globalization. You either like it or you don't. What sucks, and this is what he's tapped into, Drew, is that people are without jobs. And it blows. But I don't understand how a lot of those jobs were lost to technology.
Yeah.
To robots.
Well, there's a lot of ways jobs have been lost, and I don't think people coming over the border is the main connection. I just have a philosophical, and I think a lot of people feel the same way.
I do. I appreciate that.
Just the idea that the border's open and nobody gives a fuck and nobody's doing anything about it. And then you hear, oh, well, you know, it's really good, actually, that they come in here because look what they do. And we'll let them get a driver's license. And you know, these people that are arresting them, sending them back over the border, they come back, they arrest them, send them back. I mean, the stupidity of this exercise in many cases is just, it's absurd. And the fact that the government does nothing about it is just,
okay, but it's implausible. Is the law going to stop that?
No, laws are going to stop.
All you can do is keep deporting these people.
But you got to do something. And I don't think suggesting that we build a wall is necessarily a horrible idea. It might be impractical. It might be expensive. But somebody, the fact that somebody got up and said, I'm going to put an end to this shit, appeals to a lot of people.
Oh, I totally agree it appeals to a lot of people. I just think there's bigger issues.
Oh, sure, there's bigger issues. But I just think it's one of those, it appeals. I think he tapped into something. Mm-hmm. It's working for him. And I personally don't think it's that bad a thing.
Personally, I'd rather track people that come in and overstay their visas.
Well, that too. I mean, there's so many failures, and those kind of failures are scary as hell too, because the idea that we don't know who's here and we don't know what their background is all about. You know, this business of like Syrian refugees, people that act like this is such a non-issue. Oh, come on, really? That when the CIA says, no, we really can't vet these people, we really aren't going to know who they are. And they're saying, well, let's put 10,000 of them in your community and 3,000 of them in your community and 500 in your community. I think people have a right to be concerned about that. No?
I think they go through an amazing vetting process. Do I want
CIA said want, they can't vet them.
They go through 8 different agencies look into them. It takes over 2 years to get over here as a refugee. And how many of them have committed crimes?
We don't know.
But I, you're never going to stop
Syria.
It.
So you say the word Syria. I mean, isn't that alone enough cause for concern? Or the idea that, that somebody decides, well, I'll just filter in with those Syrian refugees. I'll be a refugee.
But the attacks that have happened here are homegrown. San Bernardino. His wife came from over there. But
they are, but we have a right to be concerned about anything in terms of, you know, what would people use as a way to get in here to do something that we don't want done. That's one way people might consider. And it's not implausible.
Okay. I don't know. I see, now that's where I have a philosophical difference, because you see people leaving trying to make better of their life because their country sucks over there. I don't know how there's not some compassion for it, because it's possible that one person out of, say, you know, 500,000 might be a bad egg.
One person out of 500,000? I mean, seriously, you want to know who's coming into your country.
Of
we have every
you
right
do.
To know who's coming in here
That's
and what they're all about.
It takes 2 years to vet them.
Well, then why does the CIA say we can't possibly vet them?
Well, because there's no papers. That's the problem. A lot of these refugees have no papers when they leave because they don't have any.
Well, you know, I do sympathize with these people. They've been through so much more than anyone over here could ever possibly imagine, and it blows. And we have taken a lot of people, but I think to be concerned about it or to express concern about it is hardly politically incorrect. Or
well, I know, I understand that. Of course, there's going to be concerned about it because something could happen. But the two big concerns are, number one, they're going to start mooching off the government, which really. Look at the Mario boatlift and what it did for South Florida. That was huge when all those Cubans came over, because you have immediate consumers that have to go get jobs because they have nothing.
And you get Scarface, too.
Yeah, and then what a cool movie that was.
That was a cool movie.
But it's been debunked by lots of places, by a lot of academia and a lot of government agencies, that they don't suck off the country's teat. Drew, I think there's a fine line. I don't want 200,000 new people in this country. I don't want 100,000 new people. But 10,000, do you think this?
We've taken way more than 10,000.
Do you think this area could support
this
it?
This area is already supporting. How many are we supporting? A lot.
Isn't that good for the economy?
It can be, sure.
You have immediate consumers that will work low-paying jobs.
But I have no problem with people expressing concern over people that aren't properly vetted or don't have paperwork. I think that is, I mean, right now, we have to be concerned about this stuff. There's been times where we wouldn't have to be that concerned about it. The Mario boatlift is probably a pretty good example. We weren't concerned about stuff like that. But now, with what's going on, it's and sure, a lot of the stuff that's happening is homegrown, but who's to say it can't be grown elsewhere, too, and it can't come in with some of that crap?
I get that. I hate that everything's always all or nothing. All or nothing.
It's not all or nothing.
Oh,
it's
I think
not.
A lot of times, I think a lot of people's viewpoints are, though.
Well, I think sometimes to get anybody's attention, it has to be all or nothing.
And Europe's a different example, because it was a lot easier for them to flow into Europe. But you know why Germany wanted a bunch? It wasn't because Merkel was so open-hearted. It's because they needed cheap labor. They needed people. They let too many in, and the backlash was massive against them.
I think you're going to see a lot more concern in some of those countries. You know, look at what's going on in France. Oh, my God. That country is so fucked right now. But
oh, man. Did you read the article about what the French government covered up about the Bataclan Theater?
No.
You want to hear it?
Sure.
It's pretty rough. It's pretty gross.
I can handle it.
Let me find it. Balls. It's in here somewhere. And save your hateful comments to me. I don't want to hear them. Everyone out there.
Well, just give people a little credit.
I do,
though.
That's
all I'm doing.
I do. Just listen to the
other
side,
there's reason for concern. Well, I think we've taken a lot of refugees, and we'll probably take a lot more. But to not express concern, I think, is crazy.
Yeah, but to think that, well, whatever. The French government committee heard testimony that it suppressed at the time that the killers of the Bataclan appeared to have tortured their victims on the second floor of the club.
Oh, God.
The chief police witness in the parliament testified that on the night of the attacks, an investigating officer, tears streaming down his face, rushed out of the Bataclan and vomited in front of him after seeing the disfigured bodies. 14-hour testimony took place on March 21st, and it's just now been uncovered. According to the testimony, the killers gouged out eyes.
Oh, Jesus.
Castrated victims.
Castrated?
and shove the testicles in their mouths. They also may have disemboweled some poor souls. Women were reportedly stabbed in the genitals, and the torture was, victims told police, filmed for Daesh propaganda.
Okay, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
They have a misguided religion, an extremist religion.
So beyond misguided religion.
They're fucked,
I mean,
Drew.
They're animals. They're fucking animals. They're twisted way beyond animals. Jesus Christ. Castrating people and stuffing their genitals in their mouth.
Yeah, they beheaded them.
Really get a kick out of that, huh?
Apparently, well, they filmed it for propaganda, too.
Oh, by the way.
Look at all the other stuff they're doing over
this
there.
This is just an offshoot. I don't want you to stop your story, but...
It's pretty much all of it.
Did you catch the... I forgot. I'm trying to think of who's... I think they were just talking about ISIS computers, that a study of all the ISIS computers they have gotten a hold of reveals they're 80% porn.
Of course they are. Of course they
80%
are.
80% porn. Oh, what you're percent is so gay? Religious. Yeah, no, what percent is gay porn? Good point.
Because track those people, because as we know, they're the ones
that
can
blowing
make
something
attacks.
Up.
Yeah.
Kill the homo within?
Maybe that's how we'll vet refugees coming in.
Hey, maybe a good change of direction here. Just a few things that have been sitting in my pile that I haven't gotten to lately. And this one, I'm really pissed I missed this story. Did you see the story about Vince Neil dragging this chick in Vegas by her hair?
Yeah.
Down, bombed off his ass?
Yeah, to Nick Cage. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Nick Cage restraining him?
Yes.
But leaving this chick lying there, injured? Yeah. She, I guess, hurt her coccyx? What is your coccyx?
It's near your solar plexus.
That's what I thought. Your solar plexus.
Isn't a thing.
It's your lower back, isn't it?
I don't think is a solar plexus even a thing.
No, no.
But the thing I laugh about is that Nick Cage is there. I don't know why.
I know, Nick Cage and Vince Neil hanging out. I hate Vince Neil. First of all, the only thing I really know about him is what I read in The Dirt, and he sounds like such a jackass in that book. You know, when he's... told that he's going to get 30 days in jail for killing Razzle from, what was Razzle's band?
Hanoi Rocks,
that's right. And he says, but the tour's starting before then. I can't go to jail for 30 days. I'm like, Vince, you killed a guy with your car. Are you out of your mind? You're lucky to get 30 days. And he was beside himself. He was so pissed at his attorneys. So that was my first real question mark about Vince Neil. Is he got a humane bone in his body? Then he shows up on Rockline, bombed off his ass about 6 months later. I'm thinking, really? So he doesn't mind showing the world that he still just gets cocked as hell and probably gets in his car just like he did that night. I mean, it's just so disrespectful to this guy that died.
What happened?
And then many, many times since then, he's done the same thing. He's just drunk as all hell
all
the time.
He's always hammered.
He treats women like shit. And this is a pedestrian, just somebody who was wandering around Las Vegas and saw Nick Cage and wanted to go over and compliment him on his movies.
Yeah.
And somehow, the way the story goes, she was with her, Kelly Guerrero was with her 14-year-old son in Las Vegas for spring break when they spotted Neil and Cage engaging in horseplay. She tried to tell Cage how much her son admires him, prompting Vince Neil to lash out at her without any provocation. She emerged with a broken coccyx, a severe hip injury, and Cage was holding Neil in a headlock. Not long before the assault, the suit says, Guerrero says she and her son had just left the area hotel when they spotted him. My son loved you in Ghost Rider and City of Angels. I'm saying, what bad taste this kid has in movies. I know it's a serious Ghost issue, shallow Rider. Thought.
That is a really serious issue, shallow, but correct shallow thought.
Absolutely.
I've always said that Nicolas Cage picks the worst movies.
Oh, I know. That was what the whole Saturday Night Live thing was based on, really. It was just
it's high praise.
So many movies, and so many of them are bad. That's when Neil grabbed Kelly's hair from behind, yanking her down to the pavement on her back. Cage intervened, restraining Neil and telling him to stop this shit now. Neil assaulted another woman who was severely intoxicated and or under the influence of powerful drugs, the document states.
I think there's video of that, by the way.
Jay's got it up here.
Stop this now! That's Nicolas Cage going nuts and trying
the
to restrain
TMZ voice guy.
Neil outside right. the Las Vegas
fault.
Hotel after the movie.
It's actually a semi-serious story.
Apparently, Vince Neil and Nicolas Cage were in the Aria, and a
these
woman
dopes
came
from
up
the TMZ room
wanting an autograph. And for whatever reason, Vince Neil grabs her by the back of the hair and tears her to the ground.
And that's when Nicolas Cage went into kick-ass mode and said, Vince, we're leaving Las Vegas.
He's trying to restrain him.
Oh, God.
Him
I can't take anymore.
Sorry. I thought it was the Raw video. There's Raw video, too, without all this.
You have to admire TMZ's ability to take a 20-second clip and make it into, like, an 8-minute story.
Oh, I know, and looping the same clip 19 times while they tell the story.
They learned that from Fox. Fox does that a lot.
What a prick that guy is. What an absolute... He ought to be in
Vince?
Jail.
Yeah.
Really should. Then the body-shaming chick, you know, the one that took the picture.
Oh, from Playboy? Yeah.
I you know, the more I read about this story, the more blown away I am. How could anyone do something like that and put it on Snapchat and think that... She acts like... She tries to suggest that... Oh, I just didn't really understand how Snapchat works. I didn't know. I thought of sending it to my friend.
Yeah.
And then you find out she's got like 300,000 people who respond to her on Snapchat.
Yeah,
like 575,000 on Facebook, and she's got 100,000 Twitter followers, or 50,000 Twitter followers, or some ridiculous amount.
Is she going to be charged? Because
this woman has never come forward. No one knows who the woman is.
Would you? Honestly, Drew, if I ever made it to a gym and was working out and someone took a nude picture of me and put it online, I wouldn't come forward. I'd just make fun of it so you would know it wasn't me. Look how fat that guy. Look how small his penis is. What a turd.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And then Jay will go, well, it kind of looks like you. Whoa, no way. I would never work out.
This chick is so hot, too, that did this.
I know.
It's so disturbing to think that someone this... she's got phenomenal genes, and she's piling on this chick who's trying to work out at a club to get herself in a little bit of shape.
I know.
How pathetic.
I know. How can you make fun of that lady? She's trying to better herself.
And she was on a radio show in Los Angeles, which further blew my mind. It's like, oh, she's got a show in Los Angeles, the number one market in America.
The Playboy chick
radio
does?
Show. Yeah, she's on the Heidi and somebody
she
show.
She is? That stupid show?
I don't know. Is that a stupid show? That's, I assumed it was, Drew, if she's on it.
That's one of the shows that's on. The Dish.
Oh, no! No!
Yes.
The Dish, the worst thing that's ever come to television, ever! Oh, my God, that's the worst show.
Heidi and Frank, right?
Yes,
I believe.
Yes,
yes. The Heidi and Frank show, yeah. That is a very successful show.
I can't take my eyes off it when it comes on. I have to watch it. It's so horrible.
Although I kind of like the show from Atlanta.
The black guy?
Yes. Yeah. That show seems like a lot of fun.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there's Yelp reviews for the Heidi and Frank show.
Oh, let's hear them.
Let's see what the negative ones are. Man, that... scares me. Are there Yelp reviews for us?
Find out.
So dumb. How do you sort them? Let's see, Yelp's lowest rate. Okay, sorry. I'm a Yelp novice. From the snorting and cackling of Heidi to the perpetual condensation in Frank's tone, this bland and thoroughly unengaging and unentertaining show should be canceled. Unlistenable. Traffic, weather, news, and music would be far preferable. God, whatever.
How can they have this Playboy dunce on there?
I have tried to give them a chance, but I nearly fell asleep. How boring. Even on Mark and Brian's worst days, they were far more entertaining than Heidi and Frank. And they always got me laughing. So far, there's been nothing to laugh about with this new show. It's so slow moving, and Heidi's laugh is so, so phony and awful. I'm moving to another station. Miss you, Mark, Brian, Kelly, and Frank, and the rest of the bunch.
What happened to Mark and Brian, by the way?
They replaced this Heidi and Frank replaced Mark and
Brian.
Oh,
no shit.
Yeah.
So they're literally out of work, Mark and Brian.
They must be. Is that the show where one guy ended up in Seattle and was doing it? I don't know.
No, that's the KR.
Oh, K-Rock out there?
Show? Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
yeah, those two guys have had a lot of success out there.
Yeah.
They were from Phoenix originally, too.
Really?
Yeah, they worked in Phoenix when it was in Phoenix. One of them was a producer and one of them was... Huh?
Was one of them Bean?
Yeah, Kevin and the Bean.
Kevin
and the Bean. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark and Brian used to have a show on TV, remember?
Yeah, it was against 60 Minutes and it got murdered. It was on NBC, I think. And that was when they were really doing well. And Howard went out there and kind of shot them down. And the next thing you know, the last thing I heard, they were playing music.
Mark and
on
Brian
the morning
were?
Show, yeah, which tells me it's got to be a disaster if they're playing music.
Wow.
But at one time, they had virtually every celebrity in Los Angeles and Hollywood was listening to them and would call their show often. I mean, they had a lot of movie stars and TV stars would call their show, and they, you know, what I heard of them, and I didn't hear them that much. They sounded like a pretty solid show, pretty damn good show.
I remember that TV show because they used to advertise it during football. So I remember watching it, you know.
It had some, they did some good stuff on there, I think. But I know radio shows that try to do TV shows just tend to be so bad and so poorly represent the radio show, in my opinion. Very few have been able to pull that off. They were getting 60 minutes, too, so they never had a chance.
I'm trying to see if I can find out what they're doing. Mark is doing a new show, Mark in the Morning.
On what station? LA?
KSWD, The Sound in LA.
Hmm.
So he's still.
So Brian is taking leave. They're older guys. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they started in like 85, mid 80s, I think.
Yep.
Brian Sounds Phelps. Familiar. he's doing a podcast.
Good for Brian.
He started it. I don't know if he's still doing it. He did it. On 2012, he started it with Jill Whelan. Is that an actress? Jill Whelan?
Sounds familiar.
Oh, that's Vicky Steubing from The Love Boat.
No.
Yeah.
No way. Really? Yeah. Somebody from The Love Boat?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You think he'd want a more youthful partner? I mean, she's got to be up there, right?
Born in 66. She's 49.
Oh, okay.
It's not that bad.
Oh, she must have been young on The Love Boat then.
Yeah.
Where's Vicky?
She was originally going to replace Mark for the KLS show, and then Brian's like, no, I'm quitting too. Later. You guys, there's no show left.
Really?
That's what it says here. Yikes.
Wow, I just saw Jane Kennedy on the intro for Love Boat.
Mm-hmm.
Jane Kennedy was on Love Boat? The football announcer?
Yeah, yeah.
See how fat she's gotten, by the way?
No.
She's gigantic now.
Really?
Yeah. That sex tape was out just a couple years ago.
Was there her on that Snapchat that Playboy chick sent out?
I don't think so. Wrong color, I believe.
Bad news, the Brian and Jill show doesn't look like they've done a podcast since 2014.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you.
Less competition.
On the subject of the podcast, I tell you, I'm just getting so worn down by the idea that this now has to be a business, which it pretty much does have to be if you want to continue or if you want to have any longevity,
mm-hmm.
You've got to become a business. And that's exactly what I don't want to do. I don't want to be fucking dealing with billing people and logs and salespeople. Not that I dislike salespeople, but just, you know, just it's work. It's all time consuming. It all takes away from what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to do a show. I just want to get the show out there again and say, hey, here we are. We're still doing it. We still can do it, which I think we've proven that point. But maybe we just need another body to do all that stuff. Maybe that's just the issue. But, you know, even to, like, I need to talk to my accountant. I need to find out what the LLC needs to be all about. Then I need to sit down with a lawyer.
Keep them on retainer.
deal with the LLC and get it all, you know, get to dot the I's and cross the T's. And, oh, my God, it's work.
Yeah, but if you're making zero monies,
well, that's the thing. I guess the problem is I don't mind making zero money that much, but it just feels downright stupid when you have other people that do want to make some money and do have to pay their mortgage.
Guilty.
Yeah, of course. No, and totally understood. And honestly, I don't like the idea of leaving money on the table either. Yeah. We should have a donate button by now. We should. You want to look into a donate button, Jay?
Sure.
We should have a donation drive.
Oh, I like money.
Because then, if nothing else, you can sit in PayPal till I get the paperwork done, and then we can raid the money. We can raid the $2,000 in the PayPal account.
It's such a foreign idea, though, to donate. I don't know. Isn't it?
I don't know. Here's the thing. If we do subscribers, we cut out a big chunk of
the money. I wouldn't want to do subscribers.
I don't either.
No, because if you hate this show, I still want you to listen to it.
But there's so many people who are offering to subscribe or to pay for the show, quote unquote. And, you know, you can do
nice.
Donations on a monthly basis. You can donate $5 a month if you want on your credit card, just like it was a subscription.
Huh.
You can do all that. Just according to Jay.
Can.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's easy to do.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with having one donation drive a year or maybe mid-year, maybe Christmas time, something like that. And I don't want it to be a thing where we're talking about donating money for two straight weeks. Now, I don't mean like that.
Oh.
I mean like maybe 5 minutes a show for a few days and just really making a heartfelt plea.
Jay, when you make the button, when you go to the site, just make the whole screen a giant button that says donate.
Done.
So you go to the screen, it's just one giant picture. Think of a button that says donate.
We'll put
make
all
it
kinds
obnoxious.
Of, and we'll put all kinds of things for them to click on. Like, click here to send an email to Mark. When you click on it,
no!
takes you to PayPal.
Yeah,
like
no. You know, everything you click I don't want to read any more hate email or hate comments.
Well, I'm also determined to find out that how sincere our audience is, because they sound really sincere to me. And I've discussed it with a few people who say, well, yeah, if you ask them to be subscribers, many of them will subscribe. But if you ask them to donate, they won't give money, or just a few will give money. And I guess I have to find that out for myself. If that indeed is the case, then we'll try it.
Wouldn't you rather be their choice, at least for now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't ever want to do subscriptions. At that point, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
Because if it's going to be 2,000 people who are kind enough to give money every month, then it's just making it such a small – it has no hope of getting any size or power behind it. And at that point, I think you might as well just can it. Shit can it.
Yeah.
Or do a show every month or something. I don't know. Or once a week like the comedians do. But I believe
it every day?
What's that?
Do you do it every day? Don't you like doing it every day?
I don't mind doing it. Yeah. I really don't.
Yeah.
But I think there's got to be some commerce to keep a staff together. Unfortunately, commerce just will not go away, no matter how much I try to ignore it or work on the show and not have time for it. It's in my face. So I think by putting the donate button on there, we're going to find out how serious are people. Are they really sincere about this? If they are, fine. That'd be great. It'll make things a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't have to do as much advertising either, because if we're constantly fussing with, tracking down advertisers and spending all our time doing that, although we have the potential, I'm talking to
a couple people. There's a lot of potential.
There's some really good advertisers that want to be on this show, and I think some of them just like the show. Sure, they want results. Of course they do. And by not having subscriptions, we do open ourselves up to having the largest, broadest audience possible. And I think that's important if we're going to have advertisers. You can't limit the show.
Then we can do an appearance.
We should do an appearance.
I know. I'm serious. Yeah.
We can do one in Mesa.
Hey.
Hey. I've
heard of that place.
Yeah.
I'm involved in Mesa.
It'd be fun. Downtown Royal Oak. Yeah, location's
great. How is Mesa doing?
Mesa's doing pretty well. I mean, it's busy as hell. I can't tell you if it's making any money.
You know, it's funny. If this was broadcast, that would be an FCC violation.
Well, I'm acknowledging that I'm
But you brought it up.
It. Yeah.
You brought it up originally.
Though, no, if right? I said there's this really nice place in downtown Royal Oak, I love this restaurant, and I didn't acknowledge being part of it, then, yeah, that would be
an FCC violation.
I think it's a problem anywhere, really. So, and by the way, speaking of commerce and the business.
I must say that I pitched a tent in the back of your restaurant.
I was looking at iTunes last night.
Yeah.
And somebody had mentioned, God, you guys have the best reviews. And so I checked the reviews. There's 522 reviews.
But you read the one negative one?
Yeah, there's one star and 522 five star. And the five stars are so incredibly nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe how much people love this show. And then there's one guy, oh, so the fired crew's back. Almost made it past a minute. Who is this prick?
I don't know.
You know, that's when I read about Leslie Jones about 10 minutes after I saw that, and I was like, what is with these assholes? It's one thing if you're on a terrestrial station, I suppose, and you're in the public eye, and you're being paid by some large conglomerate to do a radio show. But this is a fucking podcast. We haven't even asked for a penny yet. Why? Who is this guy? Why does he want it? Why did he go to the trouble to do this?
You fucker! For what just transpired the last 30 seconds? Because I knew it might bother somebody.
Shut up, baby dick.
Well, I know what it is. The more this goes on, the more this continues and perpetuates, I realize it's not just about someone who keeps trying to like the show.
No.
It's somebody who, for some reason, has really just is pissed off at us for whatever reason. I don't know. But wouldn't you think people would just move on? Oh, don't like the show anymore. I think I'll switch the dial. Wouldn't you think that would be so simple to do? But no, this person has to continually follow the show around.
It's so hard to not look at negative comments.
It's virtually impossible.
It's the black. Have you ever heard of the black dot theory?
Well, no, what's the black dot there?
There's a blank white piece of paper, and there's one black dot on it. What are you going to focus on? You're going to focus on the black dot.
Well, sure. I don't think that's any revelation.
People have the tendency to focus on the one negative or the negative aspects. Sorry, I'm going to bring you down.
I know this guy. I suspect, you know, after discussing this issue with certain people, especially like the white boy Rick thing, mm-hmm. which is funny. It's becoming sort of a running gag. Like people, a lot of even the compliments were saying more white boy Rick, stuff like that.
I know, those are funny.
This is obviously someone who is either really bugged at the success of the show. You know, ha, 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 ha. We had a lot of success. Toopy, toopy. Woo. I guess you never want to see somebody you don't like it succeed. I guess that's a bummer. But, I mean, to carry it around with you and follow the show around making shitty remarks about it online.
It's a little weird.
Really? I mean, that's pretty, it's just a local radio show, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we treated him poorly one day. Who knows?
I don't even like the guy.
Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, I know. I'd love to know. But you know what else I hate about?
I usually just read them and go, oh, what a jerk, and then move on.
The other thing I hate about social media is the fact that the namelessness of it, the anonymity of it, is it's just like, look, you pussy. We're out there. Our names are out there. We're doing what we do. We give you a couple hours every day. You make one stupid fucking comment, and you can't even apply your name to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did have to put their name on it, how many people would say the same things they say? I bet it's far less.
But people still be
pussy.
People still do on Facebook.
Yeah, some people do. But then I think if you ever did approach them, I bet you they'd back off in a hurry.
You sound like a goddamn pussy to me.
Well, I mean, I see plenty of negative comments in the Drew Mike fan pages. I get it.
Yeah, well, a lot of what's part wimp and part pussy.
A lot of those are people that listen though. Well, those are people that listen. And they don't like one thing, or they're just discussing it.
Most of the time, it stems from politics or beliefs.
Yeah, pussy.
And I do hate that it's such a political time. I wish we'd signed on at a different time.
Yeah,
because I'd rather be talking about different things.
There are a lot of fun things. I mean, there's some fun things to talk about in the world of politics.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. No, definitely. And I think when you stay on the fun things, it's really not. But honestly. Everybody's talking about. I mean, the Melania Trump speech. How can you not talk about that?
But it kills.
Are you serious? What are you talking about?
It just kills me when people just immediately label you one way or the other.
Oh yeah, well they think
that's okay.
They think they're on to something. Hey, okay. Oh, you know what I wanted to mention? I almost forgot.
It's our differences that make us great.
Of course. No, I think it's better to have differences than everyone's on the same page all the time. I mean, that would get relatively boring. Although,
God, he hardly even talks anymore.
People seem to want to receive their news through that operation that agrees with them.
I don't understand that.
I'm kind of blown away by that. It's like, really? You can't stand anything that's remotely objective?
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like that.
But now that you have the option, I guess, you know, people are going to gravitate. We talked about Starbucks and McDonald's blocking customers from accessing porn.
Yeah, did you go download porn like we asked you to? Oh, cool.
Well, you went and had one final fling at McDonald's with a pile of porn before they get the walls up?
Yeah, I'm loving it, and it's supersized and all of that.
You know what the real reason for that was?
Oh,
this is what
Big Mac.
What shocked me was what's happening is people are going into McDonald's and Starbucks to access child porn.
Oh.
Because that's the porn they're trying to get when they go to a place like that.
Oh.
It's because they don't want to be on their own computers. They don't want to be traced or tracked. So you got a bunch of child pornographers hanging out at McDonald's all the time.
Part of me is like, why didn't we realize that's why? And then I was like, oh, no, I'm kind of glad we didn't think of that angle. Like you're on the same level as them.
No, but it's not because I got to tell you,
I thought they just went to libraries.
That's just what I was going to say yesterday. Yeah. Everybody hit the library.
But when they're hungry, they gotta leave the library.
Oh, they're always downloading child porn.
They do nothing but child porn. It's their life's existence. I know. Isn't that disgusting to think? I mean, really.
Well, good.
Where do I go to? Where can I go eat and watch child porn?
McDonald's. So can't can all these companies just block it then? Can we just all do that? Block porn?
Yeah, I think they can, but
a public institution, a government institution that'll say, we can't block anything.
It's kind of mind-boggling. I mean, I really thought, after I left the show yesterday, I really thought, God, all these people are going to McDonald's and just having porn fests in McDonald's. How bizarre. I mean, usually I see families of three or families of four in there. I had no idea Dad was looking at porn the whole time.
But it's Dad. Really, always Dad.
It's really more about the pressure that they're getting from outside forces and the belief that this is a safe place to go watch child porn or access child porn, more so than that we're all a bunch of creeps, the rest of us.
Well, we are, but...
Yeah, we're pretty creepy.
We just will be creepy in our own house.
I'm real curious to see how people visit from outside. Their tourism industry maintains because their new... Is it the prime minister or the president? I think it's the president of Thailand.
Mr. Prime Minister.
Yeah, they're trying to stamp out all the red light districts in Thailand.
Oh, wow.
In Thailand, I mean, really, it more or less exists for creepy foreigners to come in there and have sex with 16-year-olds.
Who's the first person? Is there a particular person you think of?
Mr. Prime Minister.
Wait, who is it? Gary Glitter?
Oh, well, Glitter, yeah. I didn't even think of him. I was thinking of, is it... John David Carr, the guy that claimed he killed JonBenet.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he go teach in Thailand because he liked all the little kids?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking creep.
I know. But, I mean, this has been the tourism stronghold of this country is its red light district. And the president, and this is a lot of people really upset about this. They're thinking, oh, my God, what are we going to do for income? No more porn, no more sex trade, no more red light district. Are you kidding me?
After all, we named the capital Bangkok. We're going to have to change that now.
And Bangkok, of course, is an incredible place to go access all those things. They've got 125,000 sex workers in Thailand, they think.
125,000?
125,000. I don't know what their total population is, but...
Is it regulated over there? Like, do they get tested and all that crap?
I don't think so, because it's illegal.
Oh,
but they just turn the other
cheek
to it. They just ignore it. Tourism sector accounts for about 10% of gross domestic product. Sex worker groups said the minister's vision of a prostitution-free Thailand would dent that significantly.
And I will spank my butthole a little bit.
Butthole a little bit. Butthole a little bit. Let's see. Oh, this is a funny story. Did you see the story about the cruise passengers who had the... workers fixing a lifeboat outside their window for their entire honeymoon. It's a really funny story.
Slow down.
They were told that they were going to have an obstructed view.
Yeah.
But they had no idea that they were going to have workers outside their window for 8 hours a day fixing a lifeboat.
Well, how are they going to bang on the balcony if there's workers out there?
I know, look at the picture, too. That's one of the workers looking
in. Oh, my God. They're right outside.
No, they're right there. I thought that story was hilarious.
Awful. Oh, wow. He is peeking into that window. Yeah. It's like a window washer almost.
I know. And they're there from 9 to 5 every day.
And he looks extra creepy because he's got like a hazmat uniform on.
Yeah, no, he does. He looks really creepy.
Like you can't tell who this guy is and he's going to be following you around later without his disguise. Wow. The company offered him and his wife a nice dinner on the cruise ship.
I know. Yeah. Workers outside your window 8 hours a day and you get a free dinner. Ooh.
Yeah. You don't like cruises, do you?
No, I don't. I would feel trapped, I think. Anything that makes me feel like cattle, I hate.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate cattle trip because, you know, everybody gets off the boat. Everybody back here by this time.
Yeah, that part sucks. I kind of like them, though. I don't know.
A lot of people do. I'm not knocking. If you like it, you like it.
I just like sitting on the balcony watching the world just go by.
Oh, yeah.
But last
time... They've got some really cool boats, too.
Last time I was on a cruise, a letter appeared under the door, and Julian, like, what the hell is this thing? We open it up, and it's like, the captain would like to welcome you to a captain's dinner. We're like, what is this crap? So we went and asked somebody, like, oh, wow, you got chosen to have dinner with the captain.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, what does that mean? Is this like a... I felt like it was a timeshare proposition, like they were going to sell me on something.
That sounds really shady, I must say.
And they said, no, it's usually people that cruise a lot. You must cruise a lot. I'm like, this is the second one I've ever been on. Like, oh, we don't know why you got it, but you got it. So had dinner with the captain.
Wait, it's just you and the captain?
Julie and I and like probably 8 other people at this big table with this Greek captain.
What?
It was the weirdest situation. And the girl sitting next to me was on the TV show Dallas, apparently.
Are you kidding?
So she says, and so I Googled immediately after.
Was she?
Yeah, very minor
role. It wasn't
role.
Charlene Tilton, was it?
I don't remember her name. It was a very minor role. She was a kid on the show.
Oh, okay, boring.
Did you get introduced properly, Mark?
Mr. and Mrs. Salahi.
Mr. and Mrs. Salahi. Mrs. Salahi. Mrs. Salahi.
bizarre.
I know. It was kind of awkward, but I kind of like awkward situations like that. They were kind of fun.
Did you get tight with any of the couples that were invited?
No, God, no. No, just the captain. The captain and I were tight.
Really? We actually saw him after that?
Yeah, he let us go up to the bridge the next day. Just pretty, pretty effing sweet.
Are you serious?
Swear to God. Watched a bunch of dolphins swimming next to the boat from the bridge.
What the hell did you do to get so, I mean,
I don't know.
Special captain's dinner?
I don't know. It was pretty awkward.
You don't even watch Below Deck. By the way, that is the
Below Deck.
That is the biggest guilty pleasure, this Bravo show called Below Deck. And I think they wrapped up the season last night. I don't know. No, they have one more. They have one more group. They entertain a group, of course, on the ship who pays obscene amounts of money to basically run around the Caribbean for a week.
Oh,
and it focuses on the employees, and their travails. And there's this one guy, Deckhand Danny, that's on the boat, who is the biggest asshole. He's basically the lowest level deckhand.
He sounds like the kind of guy that's breaking things.
No, it's not like that. He's actually an okay worker. He's lazy. He's subpar.
Uh-huh.
But he's always gets overly involved with the passengers, like, hitting on chicks.
Oh, all right.
For example, he's making out with this one girl that was on a cruise. It was a bunch of girls who were shooting a calendar or something. He ends up making out with this one chick, and he's exchanging. They took his phone away from him.
Well, that's the biggest punishment of all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was so punished by that. And then when he finally got his phone back, of course he violated. The rule was he couldn't take the phone out of his room. Took the phone right out of his room, of course. Had to exchange phone numbers with some person. He's putting his phone. And his boss took a picture of him putting the phone number into his phone so he could show the captain.
He's busted.
Yeah. So he's thrown off the ship last night. He was sent home. Deckhand Danny is done.
What's he going to do now?
I don't know. The funny thing was, though, the passengers always ended up loving him.
Yeah.
Because, like, for example, this one group of guys who were the biggest bunch of tools. These guys were, like, mid-40s. And they when they're about to get the new passengers, they always read a little bio of them. And they tell you what they like to eat and that sort of stuff and why they're going on the trip. And it was like, we're going on this trip because we want to meet women. We're all single. So, of course, the first day they're like, hey, who can escort us to the beach to meet chicks? And they sent Deckhand Danny.
Of course.
And this guy above him who hates him, just can't stand him, who has been on yacht, done more yachting, I guess, and he's kind of a big studly guy. And
is he because he thinks Deckhand Danny is there for the wrong reasons?
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. No, they think Deckhand Danny has no future in yachting. He doesn't he doesn't understand the chain of command.
No future in yachting.
So anyway, they get on land, and Deckhand Danny is like super aggressive with pulling chicks over to these guys, bringing all these chicks over. And the other guy is a complete dunce. He doesn't meet anybody. And the whole crew falls in love with Deckhand Danny, and they just rave about him the whole week.
They're all jealous of Deckhand Danny.
Well, he's super social.
Yeah, he's cool.
But unfortunately, in the world of yachting, you're not supposed to get tight with the passengers. You're supposed to serve them, do your job, and you don't cross the line. And Deckhand Danny just can't stop crossing the line.
I see a picture, just can't help himself.
Yeah, you got look up Below Deck.
I'm Googling
Deckhand. You'll laugh your ass off.
Hey, he seems like a cool dude.
He actually is. He can be. But once he gets busted, he insists that he's right. He thinks that the being on the yacht is taking my personality away. They've destroyed my personality. I'm not allowed to be myself.
Danny kisses a charter guest on Below Deck. What would Captain Lee do? Captain Lee?
Captain Lee's the captain on last year's Below Deck show, who's run a little tighter ship than the current captain.
There's apparently two Deckhand Dannys. The other one was on Deadliest Catch. Oh, here's the other Danny's, the real Deckhand Danny's Facebook. Is that him?
That's him.
Oh, he doesn't care about yachting. They're showing him skydiving. That's the complete opposite of yachting.
That's Deckhand Danny.
Oh, he made a post 5 hours ago. I get fired off the yacht. No worries. I'm still positive with a bright smile on my face because many doors of opportunity have opened up. Thank you to all below who have supported me. I love my fans. Hashtag below Doc Med.
My fans. Right. How ridiculous.
How many likes do you think it has?
Oh, God. I'm frightened. 5,000?
130.
Oh! Oh, my God. Oh, the world's ending soon. I swear the world's ending soon. This is a sign.
Oh, that's hilarious.
This guy is such a dolt. He is the biggest dolt.
Apparently, Facebook on here is logged on to Brandon. So I'm going to like it under Brandon. I'm going to comment under Brandon. What would Brandon say to Deccan Danny? Keep plugging away.
Don't let yachting take your personality away.
Okay. Should I misspell words too?
Maybe.
Don't let. How should I misspell yachting?
Let's see. Y a
drop the C. Y-A-T-C-H-I-N-G.
There you go. Yachting.
Don't let yachting. What'd you say?
Take your personality away. Okay, yeah.
Give him the cell phone number too, since he loves his cell phone so much.
Your Y-O-U-R-E.
Yes.
I just misspelled personality away too. Personality away.
S-U-N.
You rock. 5 exclamation points. Oh, I'm going to add an emoji too. Post a sticker. Let's see. How about sad? it's going to be a crying. Let's see.
Make him think almost like tech, like he's this guy's borderline gay for him.
It's a crying owl.
Why do you like going down on me?
How dumb.
Gacy drops. Nothing better.
Okay. I hope
they better. Wanted to go down on me.
I hope somebody likes it so it'll pop up on Brandon's feed.
Oh, that'd be great. Oh, man, I may have to go in there and like it.
Meanwhile, Drew, you read USA Today, right?
Yeah.
There's a big article today about millennials.
Oh, what about them? What does that say? I didn't read that. I saw it, though.
Millennials are going braless.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, I saw.
Oh, yeah,
that,
of course.
I saw the girl. I did go into that article. I saw the girl, Kelly Ray, who said is, you know, on YouTube.
Yeah, did you watch the video? I did. Those are the links I just sent you.
Must be some great braless shots of this chick. So I went right to YouTube on her Kelly Ray. And, of course, it's just one. She's giving a speech for 4 minutes about.
Is it stupid? Should we watch it or is it dumb?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Crank it up.
Jay, you have it over there?
Yep,
there's another girl, too, that made a reason.
Oh, that's not her. This is a different chick there.
That's the other chick in the article.
Today we're talking bras. More specifically, how to avoid bras. I don't wear bras. I haven't worn bras probably.
You think this is going to be really hot, but if it's like the other girl, it won't be hot at all.
I'll get into later. But I mentioned that on my Tumblr, that I don't wear bras because someone asked. And I got a lot of questions about it, more so than I thought I would. So I wanted to talk about it just because I thought it was interesting.
What should be nothing not sexual about it whatsoever.
The reasons why some people choose not to wear bras.
Just say it,
but
bitch!
Also, I got a lot of questions from people who were sort of interested in not wearing bras. So I thought I'd share some
tips. Yeah, we'll share it. Let's go.
About how to do that. As you can probably tell, I am quite a small-chested gal.
No one cares.
Helps in the process of
not
wearing
bras. Implants,
but I do have some tips and ideas for people with small boobs and big boobs and different colors of boobs and boobs. So
this chick needs to go. No more.
Done with her.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done.
So
too.
I've got a big old list.
Please.
Of
which girl is that?
That's the first one.
Savannah.
That's not the one. Kelly Ray is the one who.
Nobody cares.
Who's got quite a rack.
I was just reading the YouTube comments below.
What do they say?
Have you ever experienced the nipple pasties falling down when you're exercising or when you're just doing mundane activities?
What?
A lot, and it's why I don't wear bras.
She sounds like
so
the other one.
I stopped wearing bras last year, I guess, and people always want to know why. People were just wondering if the reason I stopped was to make like a
this girl's actually
kind of
hot,
kind of
but
reason.
She's annoying
and
as
honestly,
hell.
No,
another comment under the first one said, 5 minutes in, if you want to skip through all the kumbaya shit.
And then,
that's
well
a comment
legs.
On there.
Which is basically, if you didn't know, it's just like a bra without like a wire, basically. It's just like cloth. And I got sick of that too. And I was like, I'm just gonna not. Like, it's funny. It's freeing. Like, have you ever worn a bra?
This other girl models too.
I can't believe I'm making a video about this, but it just got uncomfortable. And there's actually been a lot of studies about how like bras can actually lead to breast cancer. They actually lead to like saggier breasts over time. So I mean, science. But to be honest, like it's
bye-bye.
And I enjoy it. Like I used to just not wear bras under sweatshirts or whatever, and then I was like,
here's a couple comments under the article, Drew.
Enough of her. God.
And I find hilarious that boobs without bras cause boobs to sag when they get older. These millennials are going to have saggy boobs when they get older. Ha ha. Thomas Cheney. It's more like why millennials are brainless. I should like it under Brandon's account. Good God, more news for the idiot class. Any idea what boobs are really for? Look up an eighth grade human body science book. God, are people becoming more and more dumbasses?
Well, that's what that girl, Kelly Ray, had to tell us. Breasts, their primary purpose is to feed children. They're not for being gawked at all the time. Like, oh, really? We had no idea.
There's another one.
Just for us, you idiot.
I expected to find out why millennials are brainless.
Nobody cares.
Apparently that's the joke du jour.
Yeah, boy.
Look how they generalize it, too. People keep asking me, like, who are these people?
Nobody's asking you.
That's such crap. Well, like, two people asked her.
A law must be passed that they can only go braless when their boobies are firm and round and women have hard bodies. No flapjacks, please. It's a comment underneath the story. Oh, my God.
Flapjacks. Right. Yeah, boy.
A lot of it's about well-supported women. All right.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
Yeah.
People.
Actually, you know, I mean, the girl, could she at least have brought out her rack just to demonstrate what the subject was all about?
I know.
Show them off a little bit.
So we know what we're talking about and why people are asking her?
What were we talking about right before that?
Right before the boob stuff, the cruise?
I know what I wanted to say. Mark actually dug up John Gosselin. Found John Gosselin.
It's a story today for some reason.
Where did that turn up?
PennLive.com. The headline is John Gosselin works at a TGI Fridays.
Should we call TGI Fridays?
John Gosselin's in the kitchen. The one-time personality on John and Kate Plus 8 has resurfaced. This time around, the father of Aiden is working at a TGI Fridays.
Oh, hilarious.
He's been working there for about a month. The site shared a photo. Oh, TMZ has a photo of Gosselin with two of his Friday co-workers.
This guy's like going on 40.
He at one point was a maitre d' at a cafe that's now closed.
He used to work on computers. Didn't he have a tech job?
DJ too? Yeah.
But I mean, the DJ, all that stuff followed when the show went off the air and he split up with Kate. All of a sudden, for some reason, it was like he was 18 years old looking for a summer job.
Fridays is giving John a chance to spread his wings. When he's not cooking, he DJs once a month. Well, you know, he's working.
Should call TGI Fridays and tell him we're trying to book John for a DJ gig? That might get him to the phone.
Well, or that we want to sit in his section.
He's a cook, though, isn't he?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you said he was a cook.
Did I say that? I said he used to be a maitre d' somewhere. I don't know. Oh, you're right. I think it does say he was a cook. Here's the number. Oh, you do have it. All right.
Johnny G.
Johnny
Gosselin.
Johnny G.
It was like weird.
It's always Fridays at TGI Fridays.
He does sound a little like Butthead for some reason. What's this big quote about Kate?
It was like weird. Go to therapy and figure it out.
That was the one I was thinking of.
I don't know if he is in the...
Yeah.
Thanks for calling Fridays in Lancaster. This is Amanda. How may I help you?
Hi, Amanda. I'm trying to reach John Gosselin.
He's not working today.
He's not?
No. Nope.
We're calling from a broadcast in Michigan. It's Drew and Mark here. Is he full-time there?
I don't know. Let me put you on with my manager, please.
Okay. Apparently getting a lot of annoying calls for John.
Voice of an angel.
Right
John's
to the manager.
Like, don't drag me into this.
Is that, do you think, how big of a distraction would that be? I mean, John Gosselin worked there.
Big. I think it'd be pretty big.
Yeah.
Except people probably, you know, at this point, people are probably kind of forgetting who he is.
Yeah.
He's really out of the news.
I wonder if he's got like an ego, like, don't you know who I am? you drop those chicken wings.
I don't know. I think he's always going to have an ego. He's on TV for a long time.
At least he's working.
Yeah.
I don't even know which kid is coming up my driveway.
No.
Remember that quote?
Yes.
Hi, Scott. Can I help you?
Hey, Scott. It's Drew and Mark. We're calling from a podcast in Michigan. We were trying to book, we're thinking about trying to book John Gosselin to do some DJing, and we were wondering if we could get a reference from there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is he doing a good job there at TGI Fridays?
Oh, yes, he is.
He is. And he DJs there, I guess, once a month or so?
Yeah, I'm actually the GM here. I'm actually a personal friend of his.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah, like I help him out. He gets gigs for. I mean, I've been DJing for 30 years, so he's been doing it for a couple of years. And does a really good job.
Oh, cool. What kind of music?
Did you get him the job at Fridays as well?
Yeah, he asked for a job. Cool. I got him a job here. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Is he a good cook?
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's kind of admirable. He's out there making a living, I suppose. He could just be, you know, sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah, he actually donates his check, so he does it because he likes to cook. So.
What? Well, that's great. He donates his check?
Yeah, he does.
Do they take taxes out of it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Wow, who's he donated to? You mean a charity?
Local children's charities, yeah.
Wow.
Is that so he doesn't have to give it to Kate?
Probably. I don't know.
Case, I kind of admired a little more.
Right.
As far as his DJing, what kind of music is he good at?
Probably, you know, between the 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, but he has a lot of good new stuff, too, I'm sure.
Is he one of those DJs that talks over the song, like, drop the beat?
No, that would be you guys and me, because I've been in radio for 25 years, too, so.
Really?
Yeah. Now,
what station?
I worked at FM97 in Lancaster here.
FM97? What kind of music?
It was top 40 back then. I mean, I stopped because of the fact of, you know, when I went to pushing buttons, when you went to the profit system, that's when I didn't make a profit anymore. So it was kind of like they were hiring kids to just run the board, you know.
Oh, you like
automated.
You like the old freeform days,
right? Right.
Yeah.
How long have you known John?
Quite some time, a couple of years.
Did you know him back in the J and K days?
Did I know him those days? Yeah, kind of near the end.
Yeah. So, what do you really think about Kate?
I don't have any, you know, comment on Kate at all, because I've never met her, actually. So
has he been trying to get back on John and Kate plus eight, or because I know it's Kate plus eight now. It seems like
I don't think so. I think he's just he likes to DJ and he likes to cook right now. So.
Well, then how come? Why isn't he on TV? Why isn't there just John plus zero?
That's a good idea. Yeah, who knows?
And they can follow John around DJing and meeting chicks. Does he do well with the chicks? Are you his wingman? In Fridays and out?
No, I think he has a steady girlfriend. I know that he's pretty busy with when he gets his kids, and he just DJs a lot on the weekends. He's actually he DJs at a place pretty locally, steadily at Building 24 in Reading in the weekends.
Is John a draw? Would you say?
Yeah, for Building 24, no doubt.
So people know him as for John from the TV show.
I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, who's this girl? Can you tell us anything about her?
She's a nice girl. I met her a couple of times, and I don't know. I'm sure you can go online and find out her name. I think he's had a couple of pictures online with her.
He's never had any problems with the ladies, that's for sure.
Is she really young?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. I would expect John to go for a younger chick.
I'm sure there's a lot of young ones want to go for him, but who knows? You know, he's too busy. Sure. Too busy being trying to be a dad and, you know, working as a DJ and working, you know, cooking here a couple of times.
Good for him. Is he have interest in getting into radio?
I've never talked about radio with him because I did it for so long. It's kind of like, you know, you miss it. You know, you miss doing it for sometimes, you know, but I've got the point right now where, I don't miss it anymore. Well, if I can get into XM or something, that'd be something for me, but I wouldn't.
You guys should do a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did you ever do a morning show?
Yes, I did. I actually was on the morning show at F97 with Cadillac Jack and with Holly Love and Toby Knapp.
Cadillac Jack?
That sounds very
familiar. He's on Cool right now in Philly.
Okay, that's why.
I could have sworn they were on Radio Star when we used to have
I think so.
I mean, I've known Jack for years, like 15 years, but he started his career out. We're talking, he was on pirate radio in Los Angeles. That's how old he's been.
With Scott Shannon?
Yep.
Oh, that's big stuff. I mean, it failed, but it was a big deal.
And he was actually on Eagle in Philly, too, when Danny Bonaducci was on there, too.
Wow, he's got some colors behind him, big time. Now, what was your role in Cadillac Jack's show?
Pretty much pressed the buttons for him, you know.
Oh, you were board op?
Board op, but I actually did, I also was with him. You know, actually, you know, was his co-host there for a while.
And co-hosting, I mean, were you just kind of a sidekick, or were you guys?
Yeah, kind of a sidekick, reading the news, you know, doing whatever, local stuff.
Oh, cool. I'm surprised. What happened to that show when you were involved in that morning show? Because you sound like you got sick of radio in general, but it seems like if you guys had a good morning show, you would have probably enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think it was just the fact that they kept, you know, after working at F97, when you're on your ninth, you know, operations director, you know, and your ninth, you know, program director. That's what happens with radio. You know how it goes. They bring their own people in. They switch things up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Next thing you know, they're blown out.
Right.
Yeah. But did they let you guys talk a lot?
Oh, yeah. That was back then. But we're talking like, you know, late 90s up to about 2003, maybe.
How were the ratings?
Number one, local.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, it seems like you guys could have written your own check.
I seriously think like you and John could get back on a show if you wanted to.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not my age. I'm just being a GM for TGI Fridays.
Yeah, but you got some good pipes.
Yeah, that's what people say, but that's why I still do local clubs here.
And the contrast here, so. Between those pipes and John's would be totally amazing.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, you do some voiceover stuff, if nothing else.
Yeah, no doubt.
Those pipes, jeez. Well, listen, I appreciate the help. And when can we
talk to John?
He's not here right now, so if you want to get a hold of him, he'll be at Building 24 on Saturday.
Okay, well, is there a good time to call him at TGI Fridays when he has a minute?
Yeah, I don't know when his next day is going to work. I'm sure he'll talk to me later this afternoon. He's obviously pretty busy right now today, too. So
okay.
His phone's blowing up like crazy, too, like all of ours are.
Oh, I bet.
Wow.
Yeah, he's much in demand. Well, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Hey, not a problem. Have
okay,
a great day.
Sir. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Man, he's got some pipes.
He does. Actually, John's a friend of mine. I do not believe he donates his check.
I don't either. Can you look up Cadillac Jack's?
I recognize that name.
I do, too.
His girlfriend, by the way, do you have a picture over there for Drew? Yep. Jay pulled her up. She's not that
bad. She's not bad at all. She's pretty cute.
He's
got two possible phone numbers, too.
She's still way out of
for,
my league.
For John or for her?
For her.
Oh.
She's way out of my league.
What is she doing with him? That's insane. She's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that Cadillac Jack and Jim were the number one show?
In Lancaster?
Yeah.
Why not?
No.
I guess it's possible.
I don't know how many shows were in line.
That pirate radio show he referred to?
Yeah.
Was one of the biggest failures, and it was an epic failure.
What is it? I don't know what that is.
Scott Shannon is this guy that did Top 40 in New York for a long, long time and did very well. I know who Scott Shannon is. It was never my kind of show to listen to. And they played probably 6-8 songs an hour. I mean, there's always a lot of music and some pretty hardcore bits where they took time, but... You know, real involved in the community, always giving away a lot of money and stuff like that. Anyway, he succeeded so well in New York with that he talked somebody into taking it to L.A.,
uh-huh.
But the concept was pirate radio, you know, like they were offshore and they were, you know, they were breaking all the rules.
Is this after that one movie with
Slater? It was before the movie.
Okay.
Oh, the British pirate radio thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was way before that. Anyway, they spent a ton of money putting pirate radio together. Arg! And paid Scott Shannon a ton of money. It was an epic failure. Oof. It never dented L.A. Never. It was Los Angeles, number one market, and they spent a shitload of money advertising it, you know, a lot of TV and boards and all that, and it just never dented, period. And the concept, you know, of...
It lasted.
Oh, this pirate station. You don't know where it is. It's offshore somewhere. I mean, it never cut through.
Oh, it was a Westwood One. 89 to 93 is when it lasted.
Yeah, it was done pretty quick.
I don't see anything about Cadillac Jack on here.
Hmm.
On that page, at least.
Yeah, it worked in pirate radio out in L.A. And Eagle 106 with Danny Bonaducci.
Bonaducci's worked at every station everywhere.
Danny keeps getting jobs, I mean, to his credit.
What was the bigger failure, pirate radio or WOW FM?
WOW FM lasted maybe, 3 months, 6 months?
Yeah.
Was it even that long?
It was 6 months, yeah.
Hmm.
I don't even remember who was on WOW FM. You can't find much about WOW FM even online.
I'm surprised, because that was...
They had the internet scrubbed.
Really?
Yeah. I remember looking it up not that long ago.
Why would anyone bother to scrub the internet?
I'm joking. I think it was more that there just wasn't much written about it because it was only around for about 6 months, which was locally 99.5.
Was there another number you were talking about calling, or do you want to try John's girlfriend?
Yeah, there's like two numbers for her.
John's really busy today. What is that? He donates his check from TGI.
That's ridiculous. He doesn't have enough money to pay his. He's got child support for 8 kids, and he donates his check.
Post.
Why would you do that?
I wonder if it's if he barely makes any money there. And it's just.
Then why would he bother?
Because he likes cooking.
Because Jim gave him this opportunity.
Is there some
TGI angles to this?
Like,
didn't he introduce himself by the name of Scott and then go, oh, by the way, it's Jim. I'm John's friend. John's personal friend. Didn't he change his name while we were talking to him? Did he do that?
I didn't catch that. I didn't
catch it either.
I kind of thought he
did. I remember
did.
Introducing himself as Scott.
Yeah.
I didn't catch
and
that.
And then
though.
He said he's Jim. I'm Jim. I'm his personal friend.
Oh.
I think. I thought that's what happened.
To play it back. Do you want to try
fishy about
the
this.
Two Colleens?
Yeah, well, let's try John Gosling's girlfriend. Why not?
I know you cannot hear the name Colleen without thinking of the Survivor song guy.
I know. And Colleen, remember she ended up doing that movie with
the animal, with our buddy, Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider, the man. And then she never did another movie after that. She was good in that movie.
Schneider had her blacklisted.
Can you imagine the shit he would have given her if he wanted her for another movie and she wouldn't do it?
Oh, well, he's had people fired before.
He takes out billboards against people he's pissed at. Especially pulling up in Detroit. You are so fired. You are so fired. Maybe that's the reason we got fired. Maybe it was a delayed response to Rob Schneider's.
He's been working behind the scenes to get us blown out.
Yeah, for putting his mother in the hospital with a phone call.
Fake. Yeah. So fake.
That's so ridiculous.
Holy. She's cute.
She's way cute.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, try the other number. Who knows?
Colleen Haskell.
We still have Vinny's audio if you want.
Oh, Stubbs.
Oh, we do have Vinny's. Vinny's his tape? His demo tape?
Yeah. Man, she has not done anything in years.
Colleen?
She was listed as a producer, and I can only find one producer credit for her. The Michael Essensy Show. Essensy Show?
Wait, who are you talking about?
Colleen.
Colleen was a producer?
That's what it said, but I can only find one show that she produced.
Colleen. Colleen from Survivor, of course, we're talking about. The first Survivor, wasn't it? Was that the first one?
First? No, I think was it the first one or was it the second one?
Was it one of the early ones? Funny how those people were so
the one with Jervis.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course.
Kelly, you're making me
the Magic Jack customer you have called is unavailable to take your call.
Oh.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Okay.
She was on the first Survivor.
Bye-bye.
It bothers me that those songs are like stuck in my head 16 years
ago. I know. They were. There was something so catchy about them. The stupid Survivor. And what was it? The Survivor song guy we called him?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Kelly,
you make me so mad.
Voted off Jervis.
You voted off Jervis. I know. I just would love to know what all those people are up to now.
Jervis was on a Survivor not that long ago. Like yeah, a best of Survivor.
They've all come back. Virtually all of them have. What about Rudy? Has Rudy come back?
Rudy.
And what's his face? The nude guy, Richard Hatch, went to
Dick
jail.
Hatch. Yeah.
Idiot.
Rudy. Forgot about Rudy.
I don't mind the gay guy. I don't mind the gay guy. I wish he wasn't nude all the time.
How about this name? Dr. Sean. Remember we used to call him all the time?
Yes.
He was a pretty cool guy.
He's all right.
Dr. Sean. He wrote a novel. In 2010.
God, I can't. Those people were huge celebrities when that show started. Well, that was the beginning of reality TV.
I'm just looking at all the names. Remember Jenna Lewis and what she did?
Yeah, her porn tape.
Yeah, it's
that
not
was a
bad,
hot tape.
I was just going to say, it's not a
Mark,
bad porn
that
tape.
Has been, I told you I went on Pornhub to look up Sydney Leathers.
Yeah.
Wiener's Girl.
And so one popped up?
And I just thought, I'd like to see that Jenna Lewis tape again. I thought that was hot. It's been scrubbed.
No, it's not.
I don't think you can find it. See if you can find it. Because I'd love to watch
it. Oh, I guarantee you I can find it.
Oh, please do.
There's no way it was scrubbed. She sold it.
She was a performer. Let me tell you. While you're looking for that.
Here it is. It's on Pornhub.
What?
Get out of here.
Oh, wait. That's not it. Hang on. Let's just wait till I find. Wow. I might get distracted by other videos on here. Don't you find it funny when you see things like this that are just looped over and over and over? What animals?
Yeah, these people are.
Video has been removed at the request of the copyright owner. That means jack crap.
Oh, it does?
No way.
Yeah, see, I'm so stupid about stuff like that. I just believed it.
I might download some. Oh, here you go. Here it is.
Oh, no way. You found it already? I actually looked for it for about 5 minutes.
Let's see. How do I?
Well, the customer's request was pretty powerful.
Wait, maybe she had it scrubbed. It's not popping up.
Well, you know what? It looked like it was up there for a second.
Oh, there she is.
Here, let's get past all this stuff. Look how happy she is too. Good job.
Yeah.
Remember they lied about this?
Did they? They tried to say it was stolen.
Yeah.
And they actually they put it up, didn't they? They gave it away. Oh, she is a little player, isn't she? Look at that. Well, well, well. Good for you, Jenna.
Jay, you should find it so you can play it through the board. We should add a contest to see if you could find it faster.
Yeah, I've got it over here, too, but just I'm hitting all the ones that are doing the, you know, been removed.
Did you go to ZB Porn? I don't know what that is, but it popped up.
Atta girl, Jenna. You animal. Watching, Jay? You got it up?
Can you just tell it's a Vegas hotel room?
Yeah, I got it. You are on film, that's what I mean.
I guess you have the right now because you own
it. Yeah, I wonder if Rudy watched this.
I'm serious.
You think Rudy got up to this?
Hell yeah.
Legally.
Okay. Need to speed ahead about 20 minutes. Come on. Come on. Nah, we don't care about that part.
Oh,
that's a little better.
My hands are falling. Just don't. Come on.
Well, well, well. I don't know why I recall being more impressed by this than I am now.
Oh, it's not bad.
Maybe it's lost quality over the years.
Quality. Wow, she did a Survivor All-Star, too. With Rupert Boneham.
Oh, Rupert, yeah. Rupert from... Wasn't he from Indianapolis?
Yes.
Get the boards.
Get a girl, Jenna. They could have had a better camera angle for this.
This write-up on the sex tape is really funny.
What's it say?
It was originally reported that Lewis and Wolf made the sex video purely for their own private use and that it was accidentally leaked onto the internet. Oh, how innocent we all were in 2004 when we thought things accidentally got leaked onto the internet.
So they were just trying to make some dough?
Yeah.
Not very Annie Oakley. In interviews,
Lewis talked about the embarrassment she felt at the prospect of anybody being able to see her naked performing sexual acts. However, this came into question as reports appeared suggesting that Lewis deliberately made and released a sex tape in order to increase her fame and make money from it.
Ah.
In some interviews, Lewis even mentioned how people could buy the video. New York Daily News reported that she, her husband, and her manager are behind the website selling the video and received 70% of the profits.
Well, good
for her.
I wonder
how that did.
Yeah, not so good. I don't. Oh, well, it's kind of noisy.
What's going on there?
Ironically, we got a boogie out here. Jay's got a conference call to make.
Already?
But thanks for joining us today.
What a way to close it with that.
I know.
It's the applause from the crowd.
Yeah, I got a conference call to make. And
not a bad way to go out. Bang, bang, bang. We'll catch you tomorrow. Mike Clark may be back, but I don't know. Not promising anything. I'm on call. I'll keep you apprised via Twitter, and Mark will keep you apprised via telephone. So, by the way, follow me on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Drew and Mike Podcast. Also Facebook, similar. Also Drew and Mike Podcast.
Jay.
There you go.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
Whenever Mike gets back.
Yes. So have a good one, everybody, and we'll see you.